Lecture topic, marriage.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahi wa alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihudahu wa ba'd. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima allamtana. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min aynin la tadma' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min batnin la yashba' wa min du'a'in la yusma'u wa ba'd. Honorable ulama and beloved brothers in Islam, alhamdulillah, this day being a day of Jumu'ah, the Friday, is a very blessed day, the most blessed day from amongst the days of the week. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having granted us this day. In it, there is an hour in which if we make a dua, the dua will be accepted. Exactly what or which hour that hour is, we cannot confirm, but we should engage in dua throughout the day. We should engage in durood sharif throughout the day. We should feel that it is a blessed day and we should try our best to achieve something through this day. I begin with making a dua to the newlyweds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them barakah in their marriage.
Amen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them goodness.
Amen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a pious offspring and bring together the two families in happiness. I mean, to be very open and frank with you, I would like to discuss a few aspects regarding nikah and a few aspects from what I have learnt from the goings on around us nowadays. The difficulties we face and the good points obviously that we do have. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made nikah very, very easy. We saw how many minutes it took here and how simple it is. There are many reasons for this, but one of the reasons is that man should not have an excuse to commit haram. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something compulsory, He has made it easy for us to fulfill it as well. It is not difficult, but it is man and shaitan who comes to man that makes him feel that this is too difficult, I'm not ready to take the responsibility, it's going to be too expensive, what's going to happen in the walima, how many people am I going to call? Do you know that during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were some occasions when himself, in the walima, he told everyone, bring whatever you can to eat, and they all came, they brought whatever there was, he put all the food together and they ate together, subhanallah. This is how simple the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. Today, we would never be able to ever do that, to say, look, bring your food and come. People would probably look at us, you know, very funny and say, why did this person even get married? But remember one thing, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we cannot afford something, don't be shy to fulfill even that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has fulfilled. According to one narration, it is a narration that some might question, but it is a narration that I'm going to mention. To revive one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will achieve the reward of 100 martyrs in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so illustrious, so simple, so straightforward. So we are left with no excuse to commit zina and haram. Sometimes what happens, unfortunately, around us, we tend to encourage people to delay the nikah. We say, look, get engaged now and you can marry after 2 years. Well, what's the point? Get engaged, the engagement is only to... In fact, the term engagement, if we hunt in the sharia, the way it's happening today is not in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have this party and that party, you are satisfied, fulfill the nikah. Perform the nikah. Maybe if you would like to keep the rukhsati a little bit later on, and I'm sure you know what I'm speaking about, that is a better option than to delay the nikah and to unnecessarily put yourself in a position where you may just be earning the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by a phone call or a visit or so on and so forth. Unfortunately, nowadays, the families will get together and afford those who are not even married, they are just engaged, afford them a holiday in Mauritius and they will, both parties will come to the airport to go and bid them farewell as though they are encouraging and giving a green license to commit zina. And who is going to commit zina? Those who are already confirmed to be married. A'udhu billah. Look at how shaitan comes. He wants us to sow a seed of cactus and then we expect apples. It is impossible. If you sow a seed of cactus, you will be pricked with the thorns that are coming very soon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to sow the correct seeds. You want goodness, let goodness prevail from day one. So that is one difficulty we are facing nowadays. The nikahs, we are delaying them unnecessarily. Sometimes we feel, oh, we want to have a big walima, so I can't afford it yet, so let me wait and pile up, you know, the money. Or collect as much as I can. No, that is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an insult it is to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we are going to choose methods besides his method to get married and to come together. What type of children do we expect? What blessings do we expect in the marriage? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us simplicity.
Amen.
Then the other difficulty which we are facing in society today is when it comes to the nikah itself, we tend to disregard the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day that we are meant to be happy. We please everyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is happy, shaitan is the happiest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the angriest, if I can put it as bluntly as that. The reason is the planning of the walima itself at times is totally against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, and I'm not mincing my words here, to have music in your functions is totally forbidden. Not only planting the seeds of a cactus, that would be, but it would be planting a nuclear weapon in your home and waiting for it to tick to the day it's going to explode. What will happen? Why should we have music in a religious gathering? And we know it is haram whether the gathering is religious or not. But it is more haram and more forbidden the day a great ibadah is being fulfilled. For someone to play music in the masjid, we will probably beat him up. But for someone to play music in his car, we might go to him and say, brother, this is haram. There is a difference. One is a blessed occasion, a blessed place. The sin is greater, but they are both sins. So remember one thing, let us abstain from this on this occasion of happiness. Look at the day of Eid. And look at the day of nikah. Whenever there is a day of happiness, Allah has prescribed an extra ibadah. Didn't we have another khutbah today? We are going to have a khutbah of Jumu'ah. The khutbah of Jumu'ah does not suffice for that. It is a separate khutbah. It is something, it is an act of worship. Something over and above what happens on a daily basis. Look at the day of Eid. There are 6 salawat. So Allah is telling you it's a happy occasion. Make me happy by engaging in one extra ibadah also on this day. This is the message being given to us, and at the same time what we are doing, unfortunately, we are turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we tend to please shaitan on that day. When it comes to our women folk and sometimes ourselves, the dressing we have chosen for that day or the dressing our own women have chosen for that day pleases none other than shaitan. What do we expect after that? Do we expect happiness? Do we expect bliss in our marriages? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us happiness. And may He grant us the ability to turn to Him today and here and now. Remember one thing, it is never too late to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we remind one another. I need reminders, you need reminders, everyone needs reminders. If you are a mu'min, the Quran says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, for definitely the reminding assists and helps those who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reminder is for myself as well as yourselves. So the second difficulty is the problem that we face in our societies, that we do not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the days we are supposed to be pleased ourselves. We are meant to be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. The first aspect I spoke about is music. Totally haram. The second is the way we dress on this day. Let us try and guide the sisters and let us try and guide those who fall under our authority. The women who fall under our authority. Let us try and guide them to say, look, this day of happiness, dress appropriately. Cover everything you are supposed to be covering. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Imagine if He is happy on this day. Wallahi, what do you want in that marriage? You are not going to have anything but the blessings and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, when it comes to the gatherings that we gather, whether it is in the home prior to the marriage, or whether it is just after, or whether it is the walima itself, or any other da'wats that we might be having, Let us ensure that we have totally separate facilities for males and females. For males and females, in order to get the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His requirement, and that requirement is there on every day. Every day, that is the requirement. But the day of nikah, it is a greater requirement, as I said, because when we are coming into the masjid, we need to ensure that it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do not do anything to earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be more sinful to go to the haram in Makkah and commit a sin than to commit a sin here in South Africa, though they are both sins and we need to abstain from both of them. So I have not minced my words here. We need separate facilities, and it is not impossible. Even if we have a large wedding, remember one thing, to have a walima must be according to the your capacity, capability, your pocket. It is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go out and get debts and say, you know, my son is getting married or I am getting married, so I need to borrow money in order to fulfill this and that. No, that is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For your information, to go out and get unnecessary credits, meaning to go and get money from people unnecessarily, is totally against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He did not used to read salatul janazah on those who used to have debts. He used to ask, does this person have a debt? If he was told yes, he says, Sallu ala sahibikum, and he would walk away. Make salatul janaza on him and he would walk away. The sahaba would feel so hurt at times. They would say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the one who's going to fulfill this debt. I take it on me. So now he would read salatul janaza. This is how serious it is. Today, for any small thing, we want to take money, etc., etc. And the occasion of nikah, we should make sure. Let us have our nikahs as simple as possible. Whether it's big or small, if it is within the framework of the Sharia and we have stayed away from that which is haram, we are allowed to have it big and we are allowed to have it small, depending on our capacity and capability. But the criteria is, we need to ask ourselves, is it in conformity to the Sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed? If it is, we will be, inshallah, trying to earn the barakah, and the barakah will descend from the skies, bi-ithnillahi azza wa jal. And we need to understand one more point. When it comes to photography, whether it is a little camera, or whether it is a video camera, whatever sort of photography it is, totally unacceptable in the Sharia. Let us not be confused by the viewpoints that are going around in the world today. It is something that we must understand. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned something, and remember one thing, if the ulama, and as far as I know, our akabirin are not divided on this, but if the ulama of the world are divided on an issue, remember one thing, to abstain from it is far better, because it becomes a point where there is a difference of opinion. Someone is telling you this food is halal and others are saying it's haram. What are you going to do? If you want to protect yourself, stay away from that and go to something that everyone is going to say, this is okay and this is permissible. So this is something we need to understand regarding the Sharia. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, radiyallahu anhu, innal halala bayyin wa innal harama bayyin. Halal is very clear and manifest. Everyone knows this is allowed and this is halal. Haram is also very clear and manifest. Everyone knows this is haram. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. In between, there is a grey area that people, remember, in the eyes of Allah, it's one of the two. But as human beings, sometimes we are not so sure, is this halal or haram? The hadith says very clearly, if you fall into it, فَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Whoever falls into this area, they have fallen into haram. You are not sure, is this halal or haram? So you are taking a risk. Risking what? Risking your iman and your deen. Can you afford that today? Can we afford it today? This is one of the reasons why the Muslim ummah is seen to be failing. We are not bothered. To be honest, we do what we want to do. And we will find gunjaish, that is the word. We will find permissibility from anyone. We go to one mufti, you know, is this permissible? And he will say, no. We will not stop. We will not sleep. We will go to the other one, and the third one, and the fourth one, until we have crossed the continents. And we go to someone who says it's permissible. Now we say, yes, now I can sleep, because I found the permissibility. Is that what deen is all about? Is deen going around and finding permissibilities from everywhere? If that is the case, you will find people who will tell you that those things which are clearly haram, people might say that it's halal. Does that make it halal? Wallahi, it doesn't. So iman is in the heart. And this is why at the end of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, listen, there is a piece of flesh in the body. أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةٌ. there is a piece of flesh in the body. If that piece is going to be pure and clean, the entire body will be pure and clean. And if that piece is going to be contaminated, it reminds me of the bird flu and the mad cow disease. What do they do to the cows? They've got to slaughter all of them because there is contamination. The same applies to your heart. If it is contaminated, your whole body, your a'mal, your iman, your deen, everything becomes contaminated and everything will be moving in the wrong direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong. So remember this, whenever we have a function, whether it is a religious function or just a social function, ensure that we have earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, if we do it with sincerity, if Allah is to take us away at that moment, inshallah, we will have a green light straight through to Jannah. Because we have done it only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have done it only to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is another point I'd like to mention here. If sometimes we have committed a sin, remember one thing, don't justify it. If we try to justify it, it becomes a bid'ah and we will never be able to rectify ourselves because we will be arguing it's right what I'm doing. But if there is a sin being committed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from sin. We all are involved in sin, but the levels of sin are different. Sometimes we might say a word or two which is sinful. And sometimes people might be engaged in kaba'ir al-dhunub, which are sins like zina and drinking of alcohol, etc. May Allah protect us from both types of sin. But if a sin is being committed, never justify it. Because the minute we justify it, that will result in the failure and downfall, not only of ourselves, but even those around us. Because we will create problems, we will create difficulties. Why? Just to fulfill a little desire we have in our hearts. Something we want, and we say, look, this is allowed, and this is permissible. Why? Because so and so said it's allowed. What is allowed and not allowed is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits that is allowed. And what Allah has made prohibited is prohibited. It will remain that way until Qiyamah. No one will be able to change it. So rather put more clamps on your life and enjoy this life and get the fruits of the Akhirah than to try and take out the clamps and you might just be swinging straight through to the shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save everyone who is here. So these occasions of happiness are occasions where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. He wants to see, you are happy this day, what do you do? Are you going to ensure that I am also happy as your creator, the one who gave you life, the one who blew into you the ruh that you have, and the one who is going to take that ruh away? Are you not ashamed of yourself if you are going to try and disregard the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day like this? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who understand the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are all weak. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so vast. We might have 10 issues, 15 issues in our lives from amongst the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us the ability to increase that. If we have 10, we should go to 15. 15, 20. I was taught by one of my sheikhs. He says, if every year you bring into your life one major sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah in 20 years, how many will you bring? 20. In 30 years, how many will you bring? 30. And sometimes we can even be stronger to bring in more of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong. May He make us steadfast. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us truly from amongst those who are always concerned about pleasing Him. Don't worry about people. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ أَرْضَ النَّاسَ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَسْخَطَ عَنْهُ النَّاسِ. Whosoever pleases the people and in the process earns the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah becomes angry with that person and very soon the people will also hate that person. If not in the dunya, in the akhirah. إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. We all know the Qur'an. And we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of Qiyamah, there will be groups of people who will be fighting with one another. Ya Allah, this person led me astray. Ya Allah, that person led me astray. Ya Allah, I was doing wrong and this person didn't tell me anything. So we don't want to have friends of that nature. We don't want to be bothered about people who will not be able to help us on the day of Qiyamah. We don't want to have, meaning we don't want to be drowning in the lives of other people and in our own lives to the degree that we earn the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always be concerned of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same hadith continues to say, whosoever pleases Allah, and I will end on this note, whosoever pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the process, the whole world becomes angry with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with that person, and very soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that even the people will be pleased. The minimum is in the akhirah. Sometimes in the dunya, people might not be pleased with you until you die. But then in the akhirah, because your whole life was dedicated to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what people said, you will find that in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them understand that this person that we have here, this person has been earning my pleasure. Everyone will be pleased and they will understand this particular issue. And we must also understand, and on the occasion of nikah, there will be people who will come to us and say, no, why is it that you are having this function like this? When we want it to be Islamic, they will say, no, you come on. This camera here is allowed, or music, a little bit of it is allowed. Nowadays there are people who come, they will bring you cassettes and they will tell you, Mufti Sahib, is this allowed? A'udhu billah. How far do we want, what do we want to justify? We'd rather close the whole issue and put it on one side, rather than trying to bring things to please what? To please whom? You know, to achieve what? We need to understand this. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has decreed, let us purify and cleanse ourselves. You know, we need to get to a level that sometimes even the permissible things, we need to start staying away from a few, because we must protect ourselves from that thing which is haram. If something is permissible and we are fearing that by doing this, we might later on be engaged in something haram, it's better to abstain from that. That is another level of tasawuf, to abstain from halal, fearing that which is haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand what is being said. So, people might come to you and say, no, you can have this, you can have that. Oh no, it's fine, you know, the boy and the girl, they engage, but they can meet, never mind, you can send them off, you know, to eat at the restaurant or this. What is this? People will come to you and tell you, and when you tell them, I want to do it Islamically, they say, no, this is also Islam. That is a test. A test from Allah and a fitna from shaitan at the same time. Because shaitan knows, and this is something very important, shaitan knows that this person has engaged in the obedience of Allah. How can I spoil it? How can I spoil it? And this is why I remember Mufti Mahmud rahimahullah, when one person complained to him about concentration in salah, he said something very interesting. He said that, firstly, you must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you got to the level where you are actually reading salah. You are right here. That is why shaitan came to you. A person who reads salah without wudu intentionally, may Allah protect us, he will concentrate 100% in salah, because shaitan doesn't come to him. Shaitan already got hold of him. But it is the person whose salah is correct, his wudu is correct, he came to salah, shaitan tried and tried everything but didn't get him. Now the last straw is to take concentration away. So you must thank Allah that up to that level you have got. Now work on that concentration. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us concentration in salah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us happiness in the dunya and the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit myself as well as yourself from what has been said. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.